You're rocking with the most awesome miss.
The Carl Nelson Show.
You're rocking with the most awesome miss.
All right, let's go.
And Grand Rising family, and thanks for starting this new month with us. It's April 1st. That's right, April 1st, 2024. Later, black politics expert Dr. James Taylor checks into our classroom. Dr. Taylor is a political scientist by trade. He'll discuss how Shirley Chisholm bucked the Democratic establishment in her presidential bid. You may have seen it in the movie, the Netflix movie, Shirley. Dr. Taylor will also explain how Hollywood is trying to distract black Americans from politics and reparations. But before Dr. Taylor, music publicist Ira Tucker will examine Beyonce's attempt to conquer the country music market and all the backlash she's facing. But to get us started, Baltimore publisher David Murphy is here. David, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Yes, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Excellent. How about you? How are you feeling this morning?
Well, I'm here. I put it that way. When you get old, a lot of stuff come with that. But, you know, I'm breathing. I'm still on the battlefield. So it's all good.
That's right. It's better than the other objective. So let's appreciate that for a while, David. But, David, the boat crash, the bridge collapse in Baltimore, how much of an impact is that having on Baltimore's black community?
Well, I don't have all the facts and data, but I do know, based on some reports that I've heard, as usual, the tale of Baltimore is like the tale of two cities. And those who live in around the port of Baltimore, we have places like Turner Station, which is predominantly black community, and Dundalk areas, you know, is a mixture of people, mostly Caucasian, and things like that. But reports that came out that the pollution, waste, and stuff like that hit the black community is 60 to 70 times greater than in those same other community that is passed to the port. The wealth disparity It is in some of the Dundalk are very wealthy people. When I say wealthy, they have a better standard of life than those who are in the Turner Station areas and places like that in the black communities. So it's the same story, different places. It always, because, you know, a lot of people depend on that bridge, not just black people, but all people, most people. And it had hits, you know. Well, let me put it this way, to make a long story short. When some people get a cold, we get COVID. I leave it like that.
All right. Understood. But you know what it has done, though, it's thrust the elected officials in Baltimore, in Maryland, on the front page. You know, the governor, the mayor, and all the other elected officials who now have to clear this and get this all cleaned up. Because a lot of times some people like to say that our people are incompetent. We don't know how to manage cities and governments. But it thrust Governor Moore into the spotlight nationwide. People are seeing how he handles this, how the response. And same goes for the mayor. So from where I see it, it looks like a winning hand for the politicians. How do you see it?
Well, like I say, it's the tale of two stories, because they're also under attack. Of course, you know, the blame game starts, and then it starts with Governor Moore, Mayor Scott, and other black politicians. That's exactly what they're saying. They are not running this. And this port been around 40-something years, 47 years. We done had a multitude of governors, Republican as well as Democrat. And this port, it was in the same condition it was then. And now all of a sudden, we should have paid more attention than they when it comes to the condition of the port and the protection of the bridge. We supposed to have more knowledge of what's taking place than they did. And and I get a lot of stuff as well, say, you know, blaming the black official for what took place. And Carl, like I say, you in media as well as I am. But the media attention, like you just said, it's being spotlighted on the mayor, the you know, and other black officials and other officials. Just that, but you know the cause of the issue. Yeah, it could have been better work done around the bridge. But what about the captain of the boat? He's sitting in the background. Cool, ain't no rush of judgment on him too much. You know, the boat, it just happened that way. You know, but. And it could be, but how does it get the blame game get all the way transferred up to them? So I know they say it starts with the head, but you know, again, if you look at media, the totality of it, it's not favorable to the black politician. But on the higher note, it reveals one thing, especially about Baltimore and Maryland. Because media always had this idea that we on the corners, we slinging, we selling drugs, and per ghetto. Now they seeing a different side of Baltimore, where it's a captain of industry. It fuels and feeds the entire East Coast, as a matter of fact, the country as well, out of Baltimore. These fantastic things that happen on a daily basis, but see, you didn't hear that before too much in the media till this disaster happened. All you heard about the downside of Baltimore, but now people are getting a different. Like, I've gotten calls myself. I didn't know y'all had that kind of stuff there. I didn't know because all they see through media was somebody on a corner in the black community.
And let me say amen to that, too, because I did not know that how important that bridge, that river, that connection is to the nation's economy. You know, so, again, it thrusts Baltimore in the spotlight. You're right, because Baltimore has had and we've discussed this before about the television programs that, you know, sort of soil the image of Baltimore. But let me ask you this, though. One of the researchers told me that the fact is that the police came and they closed the entrances to the bridges. But they never got as far as to warn the people on the bridge. They couldn't get to the people on the bridges. Is that an issue being talked about? Because most of the casualties of people from Central America and Mexico, is that being talked about much?
Well, not much. It's just that they said they tried to reach them. But, you know, I was wondering, just this is my thought, you know, did they understand English that well? If they did hear them, you know, did they speak? You know, because a lot of them do not. And so if you don't understand a person, you can warn them all you want to, but if they don't understand what you're saying. And, but again, I'm not sure. I wasn't there, Carl, of course. But, you know, again, if they had time to get to both ends of the other thing, and I know it was split-second decisions had to be made. I don't know if it would have made too much of a difference or not, you know, if they were in the middle of the bridge. That's what I was told. And even if they did try to warm, I don't think they could have drove over, ran across in that nick of time.
Yeah, because they're on a lunch break. And let's remember, it's 1:30 in the morning. But then again, it brings a question about those jobs, because people are saying, how can they? There were only immigrants who could, you know, handle those jobs, or did they hire them? And it comes to that question again: what happened to our folks or anybody else who were not working? That the whole question comes up again about the immigrants, because now they're the fatalities in these jobs. But I'm sure. You know, we could talk about this ad infinitum about, you know, why they get the jobs, and why aren't our people getting those kind of jobs? Because they probably play pretty well.
Well, you know, again, see, if the tales of two Baltimore, if you go throughout the city and there's a lot of construction street work that's taking place. But the majority of the workers do not look like David Murphy. And, but I was told by other resources that, you know, the city and state, they do a lot of subcontracting. And I understood that, you know, we had laws in place with 10-15% if you do of your subcontract that you have to hire a certain amount of people from the city and a certain amount of black people as well. If you are in the city and you work with the city, but if you're outside contracted, then you're not pretty not adhered to that those contracts. But it kind of don't make sense to me. If you contract, it seems like you would have to go through with the laws of the city. And but you know, I've been just this is what I've been told. A lot of these outside contractors don't hire us, and they bring their own people in, and they hire who they want to hire. And there's no checks and balances on the fairness of the hiring act. So, and nobody's saying too much about it. So it just goes on, and they get paid, and then and the cycle continues.
Is that because they say that we're not trying to get those jobs? Because you know, remember we talked about the what people see about Baltimore from The Wire and the other show, the police show. Is that and now this underscores where you know they try to say that our people don't want to work. How do you see that? Because of course the jobs like this, it start with the government, so it's taxpayers' money involved all the way around, and we pay taxes as well. So we should get a piece of the pie, as you mentioned. So how do you see when people look at the fatalities of the people who are working on that bridge that night? And I mentioned they're all from Central America and Mexico, so and our people don't have those jobs. Is there any reaction, anybody in our community or other communities saying why have the jobs?
There are individual groups and stuff that pay attention to those type of things. But again, in totality, I look at things from a different point of view. You know, when you plan, when you have long-term plans, and when you have things, what we call systematic things that's in place, then it's by design that where black people are today. Because, I mentioned to you often that I'm in my 70s. And I've seen the difference of yesterday as well as today. The mindset of black people, the makeup of our families, our educational systems. You know, back in the day, and you know, okay, that's spilled milk, but you know, back in the day, if a young man wanted to learn a trade or do anything, they had all that, they had job corps, they had all that, they even paid you to go to school if you wanted to learn a trade. And even in the school system, they taught you these type of things. And today, it's you may have one or two specialized schools. And I think the mother outside government thing, like job corps and a whole lot of other, you know, specialty program has been discontinued. And so now our young people don't have too many opportunities the way I had them. And matter of fact, when I was back, and I'm going back again, when I was in second grade, I could fully read. I knew how to read. Do you know we got children 15, 16 years old do not, basically cannot read. So how are they going to fill out a contract or anything else? They're frustrated. And that's why some of them get in trouble. Because, you know, they just don't have the basic necessity to live. And that's reading and writing. And so that's have a long-term effect on individuals. He's going to survive one way or the other. But because a lot of this stuff has been taken out of school, we had all types of things. If you couldn't read back in the day, the teacher, I don't care how big your classroom was, they would recognize that and they would send somebody to assist you.
Right. But today, well, hold that thought right there, David, because we got to take a short break. When we come back, though, the other issue is that not only they cannot read, they don't want to learn to read. This, at least some of them don't. That's the other issue, too, that we need to talk about. Also, we need to talk about this weekend's Black Men, Unifying Black Men monthly breakfast. We need to talk about that as well. And also Marilyn Mosby, the latest on her fight. Family, you want to join this conversation with David Murphy? David is the publisher of the National Black Unity News. Reach out to us at 800-450-7876, and we'll take your phone calls in 4 minutes right here in Baltimore on 1010 WLB. If you're in the DMV, you're on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power.
Raise a spoon to Grandma, who always took all the hungry cousins to McDonald's for McNuggets and the play slide. Have something sweet in her honor. Come to McDonald's and treat yourself to the Grandma McFlurry today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
And good morning once again, family. You're just joining us. Welcome to April. It's April 1st. No fools around here today, though. We're discussing some serious issues with our guest, the publisher David Murphy from Baltimore. He's the publisher of the National Black Unity News. We start off talking about the problem on the bridge, and you know, it made worldwide news that the boat that crashed into the bridge and the impact that it's having on our economy. Joining us right now on line three, Howard's up early in Los Angeles. Good morning, Howard. You're on with David Murphy.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for taking my call. I guess you know I'm here in Los Angeles, so I call this like northern Mexico because all the Mexicans got to do is just get across the border. And you've been out here for a while, you know it's set up. And on I-5... just before you get to Camp Pendleton, they got a checkpoint there. They got different checkpoints, but they get around it. Well, what I was talking about, people realize the thing that Americans are really lazy when you get down there because they don't want to do that. Any kind of job is like beneath them, black, white, or whatever, they've been there for a while, they don't want to do it. That's why these Latinos and these immigrants come in for, because they do the jobs that Americans don't want. Now, if you stop the border, just think about this, Carl. If you stop all the people coming from across the border, who's going to pick the fruit and the vegetables? Who's going to be in the packing houses? That kind of work. Black people ain't doing that. A lot of white folks ain't either. We got a society.
Let me stop you there for a second. Do you think if they paid a decent salary that the black folks would jump on those jobs and everybody else would? Do you think it's an issue of money? Is the payment?
That has a lot to do with surety because they pay a little bit of paying pittance anyway, and their culture, so everybody's sick together, you know, be in the house and with a bunch of people there and stuff to share it, which is beautiful. I applaud that because that's what we need to do, go back to some kind of base, and we did it once before when we came up north to the northern cities. But they do the jobs that a lot of Americans don't want, you know. And my thing is, when I heard that they were from Central America, it wasn't nobody in their office that spoke Spanish, you know? And, you know, this is a different culture back on the East Coast, but here it'd be understood. Like, I used to get bilingual pay because I started in junior high school, and I was glad I was one of the men that encouraged me to learn a foreign language. And he helped me out a lot in more ways than one. So Americans are very lazy. The jobs that these people are doing, they don't want to do. You know, but like you said, it's a pay thing. They pay them barely minimum wage, you know. And that's another thing that's happening because I remember last week I called in about the hotel workers stroke, and they got what they wanted. You look at the crowd on the news, they were mostly immigrants. They're doing that work in the hotels. Everybody knows that. Why? And then they're not paying them anything, you know. So it's a labor issue too, Carl. And the American industry, they want to get better help. They got to start hiring Americans. And also on the education system, our youth aren't being trained to do anything. You know, they might be good on this electronic stuff, but can they make anything to put on a car? Any, you know, maybe a tire or something like that, a unit roll out here in L.A. We have industry out here. A lot of industries were out here. All those split. Like GM gone, Ford's gone. Goodyear, they split. Firestone gone. A lot of industries have left Los Angeles as a result. So it's just an issue with labor and immigration. And these people, the migrants, they Americans are talking about they're taking their job. Yeah, they might be taking their job in that sense because they're not getting paid compensation wages. These people aren't paid enough. That's why you got a bunch of them working like that. And I was telling Kevin about what's happening in L.A. You see a lot of people on the corner selling tacos and stuff like that, food trucks and stands on the corners. What they, how they get around it is that they open up after the health department closes, like 5 o'clock. You know, on the weekends. That's how they do it. That's how they get around those things. And I don't like getting up in trucks, man. I look at two things on those trucks. Who's having money and who's cooking the food? If one person doing both things, you don't go there because there's a chance of getting something. But anyway, Carl, that's what I have to say. And you have to realize that it's a very important thing. I hope I took a share some light from my perspective out on the West Coast.
All right, cool. Thanks, Howard. Thanks for waking up with us this morning on April 1st. Let's get David a chance to respond to some of the things you said. David?
Yes, I agree with the brother. Yeah, it has a lot to do with the type of job, especially the pay. And again, because I am in media, you can't put it all on one specific thing, it's a variety of things. Now, just take yourself for instance, if you constantly being bombarded with luxury, the bling bling, the young people say, I'm getting mine and you get yours. This is the lifestyle that we live in. You seeing this in your media, on your cell phones, and this is constantly being bombarded with that. Did somebody offer you a job working in the field, $8 an hour? I mean, from a child's point of view. For a young person's point of view, psychologically, no, you don't want that. You want the bling. You want to get this by any means necessary. So that's what they're telling you to do. But you don't have it, I'll take yours. That's what they're listening to. And we are short human beings. If what we hear is what we do sometimes.
Yeah. But Howard had a point, and thanks, Howard, for your call. Howard mentioned, you know, who's going to pick the vegetables? And I would say that I dare say if the money was right, our people would do those jobs. But then the people and you know, the people who own these packing centers, who the farms, you know what political persuasion they are. And then they'd pass on the increase to us. And that's what we're seeing a lot of times in this economy. You know, the production cost goes to the consumer. So they're going to say, would you pay more for, you know, for cabbage, for lettuce, for peaches out in Georgia or whatever, where the immigrants are working at, migrants are working on, and would you pay more? And then again, there's just no health benefits. There's no union. And many of them, they take out money for Social Security, and they can't even collect on that Social Security, and they have to pay taxes on them. So it's all kinds of way they take advantage of these people, the migrants who are coming in. But again, I think, David, if they would pay a decent salary, and you know, put that in air quotes, because you have to determine what is a decent salary, that our people and a lot of other folks would go after those jobs. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree as well. But you know, that's why they say the rich get richer, but they're getting it from both ends. They're getting it from the labor as well as the consumers. They're profiting from it. And so, you know, that's their bottom line. And so it does not matter who's picking the fruit. It does not matter to them who's buying the goods. They are getting paid, and they love the situation they're in. But if it's left up to them, and which pretty much of it is, that's the way the status quo will continue to be this way.
All right, let's keep moving. 29 minutes after the top of the hour. Let's go to Bill. Bill's calling us on line two. Bill's in Baltimore. Good morning, Bill.
First, just let me say thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for having David Murphy on there. But y'all talked about a lot of things, Carl. So I'm going to just say this, and then I'm going to make mention to the Black Man's Breakfast. But, you know, I think when you're talking about the immigrants and the jobs and everything else, and, you know, first and foremost, Carl, you know, a lot of times everything comes down to leadership and organization. You know, unfortunately, in our communities, then we're not organized enough to deal with some of the issues that affect all of us, even when we talk about some of the jobs that are going to different immigrants, right? You know, we were organized and we were organized. We will make sure that them jobs, first of all, is meaningful jobs where the pay is good, and we will make sure that we had them jobs, right? Unfortunately, when it comes to leadership, then we don't have leadership saying, listen, we got to make sure that black people in the black community have a percentage of these here jobs that's taking place within our communities. So I think it's a lot to deal with when we just deal with the whole job issue and the immigrants in relation to that. In reference to the bridge, I'm like, I don't know a whole lot, but I will say that according to the news, then it was just like by the time that the ship pulled down, it was just a matter of minutes before it hit the bridge. So everything happened real quick. So even if it was some way to warn the workers that was on the bridge, it just wasn't enough time to get off the bridge.
Before you move from the bridge, though, Bill, let me ask you this, because some people say that it was a psyops operation, that, you know, it wasn't an accident. It was predestinated. How do you see it?
Well, Carl, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm one of those people, I don't like to go on no type of conspiracy or nothing like that, because, you know, first of all, my view with this whole government and everything is that, you know, you never can say what is and what's not, right? I don't have enough information to put information out there to say that it was a deliberate, it was done deliberately. So I'm going to have to leave that one alone and just go with it, all the information that I have heard at this point and not point to nothing that I'm not sure about. So, but it's definitely always a possibility in terms of anything could have happened. So we can't put nothing past this system. So I'm going to leave that with that one. But in regard, excuse me. But in regards to Marilyn Mosby, you know, again, I just want to thank you so much, Carl, for everything that you have done to help us to continue to put Marilyn Mosby out there and put her issue out there. And again, there's a lot taking place around Marilyn Mosby. There's online petitions taking place. Is people could pick up petitions to get signed. I mean, the goal is trying to get, I think it's $100,000 that they're trying to get to be able to get to Joe Biden, asking that his administration and that he would use his authority to pardon Ms. Mosby. You know, we raised the money for Ms. Mosby. You know, of course, her sentencing date is May 23rd. Which, in my opinion, is very important that we have thousands of people to attend the hearing if necessary. Now, the goal is, if the petition process work and the pardon work, then Joe Biden could actually pardon her before the sentencing. But if that don't work, I think that it's important that people show up to show this woman that, hey, listen, we love you, we support you, and we're standing with you. So, you know, there's a lot that people could do just in reference to helping Ms. Mosby. Now, in reference to the black man.
Before we move on, let me give David a chance to respond to what you just said about helping Marilyn Mosby. David?
Yes, you know, Bill Gooden is a soldier, and Bill is selective into what he fights for. And he's out there fighting, you know, I know it's a good cause because, like I say, his brother has a track record of standing up for our people. But from my perspective, what has happened to our sister Marilyn Mosby is an atrocity to her and her family, but to us as well, as black men, as black people. Logically, if you open your eyes, you can see what's taking place. This lady is being railroaded to be used as an example and not to mess with certain people. Even to take her livelihood, they took that from her, disgraced her in our face and on our time. Yes, I get very emotional about this because this could happen to my sister, my aunt. Matter of fact, even myself. And if no one, I'm out here myself, just like Bill and just like you, Brother Carl, fighting for our people on a daily basis. But what an atrocity, even worse than being attacked from the outside. But for those people that you stand for, don't stand with you. That's unforgivable, far as I'm concerned. And so, yes, I'm standing with Marilyn Mosby, and I'm going to do what I can to support the system. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And I don't care if you like her, if you don't like her politics, but you got to look at the overall picture. She's a black woman being attacked by a system just because she tried to do her job. Wrong is wrong. And if we don't stand for something, we're going to fall for anything. And I stand with the system, and I'm going to do what I can. That's my take on it, and I'm in it for the long haul because, again, that's one of the reasons why I do the things I do. The atrocity that has happened to us as a people is continuously happening. Man, they don't even care. Just like public lynching back in the day. That's exactly what they're doing today, right in our face, and dares to say anything or do anything. But thank God for Bill and his coalition and so many brothers and sisters that took a stand. And are standing. And by God, I'm going to stand with them too because, like I say, right is right and wrong is wrong. That's what I believe, Brother Carl. I'm
going right. And you know, and it's bigger than Marilyn Mosby. And so let's stay, because, you know, they try to just say it's just one person or what she did and all that. No, it's a system that's trying, you're right, it's a public lynching of the system. That's what they're trying to do to Marilyn Mosby. Any black woman or black person who stands up against the system and fights for our people, this is an example of how, what we can do to you. So they want to see if she has enough support. Not just the, I keep saying, it's not just about Marilyn Mosby. It's not just about Baltimore. It's about black people and not just black people in this country. It's when they come after you, when you're fighting for other black people and they come after you. And you're right. It could be me. It could be you who fight for black people. This is what you would put you in your place. This is what you can expect. So I'm glad you mentioned that, David. Thanks for sharing that. But let's go back. Bill has another comment. We've got some more folks who want to talk to you, David. Bill, let you finish your comment.
I do real quick, but since you said that, just look at the picture that Donald Trump just put on recently in reference to Joe Biden, with Joe Biden tied up in back of a pickup truck. I mean, come on, man. Do you think a black person could do something like that and not be going in prison right now? I mean, you know, that's the president we're talking about, right? But then I just want to make mention.
You know what? I'm just looking at the clock here. Hold that thought right there. I think we got to take a break. Kevin, do we have to take a break? He says we're way behind. Let's take the break, Bill. I'll let you finish your comment when we get back. Family, you can join us, 800-450-7876, right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB and also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and 1450. WOL, where information is power.
Raise a spoon to Grandma, who always took all the hungry cousins to McDonald's for McNuggets and the play slide. Have something sweet in her honor. Come to McDonald's and treat yourself to the Grandma McFlurry today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time.
Now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
Good morning again, family. 19 minutes away from the top of the hour with David Murphy. David is a publisher of the National Black Unity News in Baltimore. I'd like to speak to him, 800-450-7876. Before we go back to him, let me just remind you, coming up later this morning, we're going to speak with black politics expert Dr. James Taylor. We're also going to talk music with Ira Tucker. Ira Tucker Jr. is a music publicist. And later this week, you're going to hear from Morgan State professor Dr. Ray Wimbush, reparations advocate Cam Howard, a medical and doctor and scientist, Dr. V, will be with us as well. So make sure your radio's locked in tight on 1010 WOLB in Baltimore. If you're in the DMV, we're on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL. All right, Bill, sorry about that. I'll let you finish your thought.
No, I just wanted to point it out in reference to some of the stuff that Donald Trump doing and you know, able to get away with it. I mean, even attacking the sitting president. So when we talk about Marilyn Mosley and what she's done, you know what I'm saying, and we just look at what Donald Trump is doing, I mean, I think that it casts a dispersion on his nation, right? So I just wanted to point that out, which we could really talk about that a little bit deeper. But I just want to end with this call. I just want to remind everybody, I'm sure David probably mentioned it, of the Black Man's Breakfast that is going to be coming up this here Saturday. So I just want to thank all the Black men and young Black boys who have attended over the last 9 years. And, you know, David could talk about it. So I just wanted to put that out there and invite all the Black men to please attend the breakfast this coming Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Bill. And we keep
all
moving.
Right, thank you.
We got some more folks who want to talk to David, 17 away from Tom. Smitty's next. He's on line 3. He's calling from Baltimore as well. Smitty, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Carl. First of all, I want to thank you for what you do for our community and getting information out. But you have a powerful person there, Mr. David Murphy, a brother who made his own newspaper. Rather than following the imprint of someone else's, he saw a need in the community that it's time for us to stand up for our own and bring voices to ourselves so that we can have communication among each other. The other thing, I know that he's there, and I don't want to take up a lot of time, but we have to look at what is being done. When we talked about the immigrants, live in a country where they're not paid a lot of money. But we are worried about immigrants rather than to be worried about our own people, because our people were first here and we built everything and we got nothing for it. They worked us for nothing and gave us nothing. And then when we heard people who talk about, well, we don't want the jobs. Hell yeah, we want the jobs, but we want to be compensated for the jobs that we have. There's been many times that we tried to get jobs and we were denied from the jobs. And those who talk, when we talk about Marilyn Mosley, when we talk about the unfair justice that's being done to her, let's look at this system that is in place. Why is there more Blacks incarcerated all over the country? Does that mean that they are wrong? No, it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It means that there's a system that is in place to incarcerate our people. So the hurting thing is to her. So many people talk about that Mrs. Mosley is wrong for a signature on a piece of paper when she gets the proper people to address the situation. She had a realtor who had a license. She did all the things that were done that she's supposed to do. She didn't just do it on her own. She hired people who have a license just like she has, but they want to take her passport. They want to deny her opportunity of access to her family, take her cars and everything. What other white person that you have saw this happen in this community at large or this world? We have always, when we come out to help each other, we're always the people that they use the full force of law on it. And before I go, Carl, because I know that you're going to ask me what my questions are to the listener, to Mr. Murphy, my question is, keep on, brother, to doing what you do, you and Bill do, to enlighten our people, to let them know that there's a wrong that's being done in our community, and it's time for all of us to stand up and say, this is a time when we're not going to take it. And we shouldn't
Thanks,
take
Smitty.
It.
David, you want to respond to what Smitty said and maybe some of the things Bill mentioned?
Yes, I do. His brothers like Smitty is one of the reasons why I do what I do. See, we got soldiers. That's what I call people who taking a stand all over this country, all over the world, fighting, taking their own time, resources, trying to better not only their own lives, but our lives. But we have a very small voice. And I say this every time I come on here. We own less than 1% of the media. We have a very small voice, but yet we still have a voice. And so we had to capitalize on the voices that we have and support the voices that we have. And see, it's people like Smitty Bill and so many of them out there who are fighting on the front lines. And we all have our role to play. You're doing what you're supposed to do, Carl. You're bringing exposure, and I do what I do, the same thing. But at the same time, collectively, we need to work together. We need to support one another. We need to take a stand. And like Smitty, we got to stop everything that's being hurled at us. And if we don't take this stand, and you don't think what they have done and what they won't do and what they will do, well, you for awakening, because nothing has changed, and they tightening the belt up on us. And if we don't take a stand, not only for ourselves, but for our future generations. You know, we stand on great shoulders, but somebody needs to stand on ours, and we cannot sit back and allow things what happened to Marilyn Mosby, what happened to you, me, and so many of us, what's happened to the average brother and sister on the street. They can't get these jobs. And if they get these jobs, they only have enough to even put food on the table. So why even bother? And systematically, they do it that way. Those who hire those individuals that come ahead less than, those who are charging us more than, but see, nobody charging them. But again, that's I love that I have brothers and sisters around me that's willing to take a stand and who are standing. And I will always, this is me personally, because I'll go with or without you. I'm taking a stand. And I will continue to stand because what's happened to me is not always about me. It's happening to us, my children, my great-grandchildren. And I ain't going down like that. And thank you, Carl, for this opportunity because your voice is a powerful voice, and I appreciate you so much for what you do and what you have done. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, David. 10 away from the top here. Brother Brian's joining us. He's on line 4. He's calling from Virginia. Brother Brian, Grand Rising Brothers, thank you for joining me in the conversation.
Yes, good morning. It's not Brother Brian. It's Brother Brown X. But, hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Quaze, Carl. Good morning, Brother David. Thank you, brothers, for bringing this out, Carl. Thank you for this platform. Y'all know this is Women's History Month is last March. But shout out to Marilyn Mosby and all the black women that have done tremendous jobs. I have a few questions. First of all, about this petition, you know, I know they had a rally like 2 Saturdays ago, and you want people to come down and fill out a physical petition. But in this age of technology, I know every time somebody has a grief or a petition, they have something online called change.org. So can we have something like that? We don't physically have to come out and put our signatures on it. We just go online. We got tech-savvy brothers that can put, you know, change.org, and we can sign online. That way we can do it all over the country, number one. Number two, do we have to go to President Biden to get her a pardon? Can we go to the governor? Hey, Governor Moore, where's Moore? This is the sister out there. Let's get her off. So those are my two questions: to go on change.org to get his petition signed, and to petition, you know, Governor Moore. And personally, I have been giving Marilyn Mosby my money. I will continue to do it. We have to help that sister. And thank you, everybody.
All right, thanks,
thank
Brother
you,
Brown,
sir.
And thank you for doing that, man. Thank you for really, and he made some good points. David, you want to tackle some of the questions that he mentioned?
Well, I agree, because like I said, we have to stay, you know, with time. See, time is moving so swiftly, and we do have mechanisms out there, especially online, that can get our word out there fast and quick, not only locally, but nationally and internationally. And I'm quite sure Smitty and Bill and everybody else heard what this brother has said, and we will have a discussion on that. Just get that on there as soon as possible. And, brother, I appreciate you for taking a stand, not only just talking about it, but you doing something about it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and the question about the governor and the president, I think it's because it's a federal issue. I'm not quite sure. I'm not an attorney, but I'm not sure how much of a pardon the governor can do, because it's not a state issue, state of Maryland. It's concerns. I think it's a federal issue that the charges she was convicted on. So I think that will answer that question. If I'm wrong, someone out there with a legal brain, just correct me on that one. But you having this breakfast this weekend. David, tell us about the breakfast. What's the topic?
Well, this weekend, you know, we're celebrating our ninth year of in existence. And it's about six black men who have come together. And we had this great discussion over breakfast about how we can support brothers. You know, there's a special need in our community where men need to take their rightful role, provide, protect, stand up for our community. And so we decided to have a breakfast on the first month of every Saturday. First Saturday of every month. And we invite men, black men, from all walks of life to come in, and we introduce ourselves to each other. We find out what each other's doing. how we can support one another. And personally, I have met so many brothers through this format over the years. Even the National Black Unity News came from out of this juncture, where because me and Bill started this publication, but it came after Black Men Unifying Black Men. There's so many other organizations in Baltimore and around the country have came from out of Black Men Unifying Black Men. And this Saturday is a special Saturday because we are celebrating our anniversary, and we're going to share some of our history, where we've been, and where we are going. We're going to highlight the importance of Black men standing together, working with one another. And if you are...
I'll tell you what, David, hold that thought right there. I'll let you continue to tell us about that. We got to take on the break real quick. I don't want to be late again like the last one. So let's take the break right now. I'll let you finish your thought on the other side. 6 minutes away from the top of the hour, family. We're back in 4 minutes with David Murphy. David, is the publisher of the National Black Unity News in Baltimore. We'll be back right here on 1010 WLB in Baltimore and also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL, where information is power.
Nelson Show.
You're rocking with the most awesome miss. All right, let's go.
Good morning once again, family. A minute after the top of the hour with David Murphy. David is the publisher of the National Black Unity News. Welcome to April, family, and welcome to Monday. So we get started here, first day of the month. And momentarily, we're going to talk about music with Ira Tucker Jr., but let's wrap up with David Murphy. They're having their event this weekend. So, David, I'll let you finish. Tell us about your event.
Yes, our event will be this Saturday, April the 6th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at a Black restaurant. Matter of fact, we only host our events at Black facilities. So we practice what we preach. It will be at Next Phase Cafe at 112 East Lexington Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21201. All Black men are welcome. There is no charge. However, we do take a donation. We want all men to show up. Don't let money be an excuse why you don't show. Because, like I said, you'd be amazed at the talent of the brothers that will be there. And it's good for us to know one another, support one another, and lift each other up. And call, can I give out my information for the publication?
Sure. And also give out information for the folks in Baltimore City who want to attend this weekend. Is there an email or a phone number they can call as well?
Yes, they can call for both. Yes, they can call David Murphy at 443-455-2373. Again, David Murphy, 443-455-2373. You can call me for the Black Men Breakfast as well as the National Black Unity News, and I will, you know, pick up the phone, talk to you, how we can uplift one another and support one another.
All right. Thank you, David. That's what we're all about, supporting each other. Thank you. And thank you for doing that, because, you know, you're in the media like myself, so we've got to get the message out. That's what we've been that's our mission, to get that message out to our people. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you, sir, for having me on and continue to do what you do. You have an extremely important format, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, David.